today on Path of Grace.
For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. Two things are mentioned that please the Father. First, that in Christ all the fullness would dwell, and second, that by Christ God would reconcile all things to himself. It pleased the Father that in him, being Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. He reconciled all things to himself, everything on earth and everything in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, the word translated as reconcile in this verse means to reconcile completely, to reconcile back again, to bring back a former state of harmony.
I wish this boat could carry me to you, for I am thirsty for your love, but it lies deeper than this ocean blue, and all this beauty.
When we were together last time, we were talking about the bigness, the greatness, the vastness of what God has done through Christ. And the passage we focused on was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. Let me read you verses 18 and 19 from that chapter. It says this, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Now, in our last study, we talked in detail about the words reconciliation, reconciling, conciliation, and conciliated. If you missed that study, you may want to give it a listen. What I want to do right now is look at verse 19, and we see the vastness of what was accomplished through Christ. It says this, "God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them." The word translated as world in this verse is the word cosmos. According to Wikipedia, this word is generally used as a synonym for the Latin word universe. Also according to Wikipedia, the universe is commonly defined as the totality of existence, including planets, stars, galaxies, the contents of intergalactic space, and all matter and energy. In other words, there's nothing left out of it. And Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the cosmos to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Now, think about all the people on the earth. Do we fit into what would be called the cosmos? Yeah. So in other words, Paul is letting us know that just as what Adam did had a universal effect, so does what Christ accomplished. Although at this point in this age, we aren't seeing the full effects or the finished product yet, but one day we will. Now, I want to give you a couple of other passages to jot down today, and you may want to flip to them if you have a Bible handy, where the Apostle Paul shares the same basic message, the message of an ultimate reconciliation of all things to God based upon what Christ, the Savior, the only begotten Son of God, has done for us. In Romans chapter 11, Paul is talking about God's dealings with the nation of Israel and the fact that they are right now temporarily set aside in this era we're living in because of their rejection of the Messiah. They rejected Jesus, they had him crucified. Then after his resurrection, when the original apostles went to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to Israel, they rejected that message again. And so Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 11, he says this, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles." Now, If their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Then he says this, for I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. Or a literal translation of that last part of the verse reads, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. That's the way it's worded in the concordant literal New Testament. Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is a reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Now, we could spend a lot of time on some rabbit trails in those verses, but what I want you to see right now is those words in verse 15. Their being cast away is a reconciling of not just a few, but the world. The word translated as reconciling in this verse means restoration to divine favor. So he's saying that Israel's being cast away, their rejection of Christ and the kingdom of heaven coming to the earth, which one day it will at the end of this age, their being cast away is the restoration of divine favor of the world. Restoration of divine favor, not only for a few, but for the world. Now the word translated as world in this verse, just like in 2 Corinthians, is a word cosmos. So that's Romans 11. Verse 15, jot that down. Next, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. This entire chapter is mind-blowingly beautiful as Paul focuses in on the absolute sufficiency of what was accomplished for us through Christ's death and resurrection. He talks about the fact that Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. We don't qualify ourselves. God has done it. Paul tells us that God has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He did it. We didn't. Paul tells us that in Christ we have redemption through His blood. In other words, redemption is through His work, His effort, not ours. Then starting in verse 19, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, the Spirit of God tells us this through Paul. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Two things are mentioned that please the Father. First, that in Christ all the fullness would dwell, and second, that by Christ God would reconcile all things to Himself. It pleased the Father that in Him, being Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. He reconciled all things to Himself, everything on earth and everything in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Now, the word translated as reconcile in this verse means to reconcile completely, to reconcile back again, to bring back a former state of harmony. It pleased God that through Christ, He would reconcile completely and bring back a former state of harmony for all things on earth and all things in heaven. In other words, everything we can see and everything we can't see. Let me ask you a question. What is left out of that? It sounds like Paul is wanting us to know that what Christ did is as far-reaching as what Adam did, what Adam caused for us. Again, in this age, we have yet to see the ultimate effects, the ultimate universal reconciliation, but one day we will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul tells us the ultimate outcome is that God will be all in all. Now, let's keep reading in Colossians. In verse 21, it says this, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. Where was the alienation? It was in our minds because of our wicked works. What's that mean? Well, as we see and we experience the effects of being born into these bodies we wear, born into death and sin, we think in our minds that God wouldn't want anything to do with us, that God wouldn't be willing to accept us, that God can't accept us. But Paul tells us that is all in your head. God sent Christ to demonstrate His love, to prove His love for us, to give us a tangible picture of it so that we would stop alienating ourselves and stop beating ourselves. We do that a lot, don't we? And stop trying to make payment for ourselves, to simply know His love, to rest in His love, and believe this amazingly great news that He has reconciled us. The alienation has been all in your mind. Verse 21 again, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. So through his death, not our effort, he presents us as holy. That's the word hagios. In Greek, it means the most holy thing. He presents us as blameless and above reproach in God's sight. We don't see ourselves that way. We typically don't see other people that way. We're all very aware of our own faults and blemishes and warts and pimples that we have in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And we're very aware of those same things in other people. But when Father looks at us, that's not what he sees. We have been presented to him as holy, blameless, and above reproach. Now, at the beginning of verse 23, there's an important word that we come to as I'm reading to you in the New King James translation, which I don't typically like. In the New King James, and at the beginning of verse 23, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. If you continue and are grounded and are steadfast. Now, you may read that and say, wait a minute. Everything in this chapter up to this point speaks of our standing with God being something that was accomplished by Christ. It's done. It's complete. It's wrapped up in him. It's speaking about us already being reconciled. So what's up with this if? Well, let me read it to you from another translation, and it's going to make more sense. And believe it or not, this is the way it's worded in the Catholic Public Domain Version. It says, so then, continue in the faith, well-founded and steadfast and immovable, by the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Wow, that small change in wording makes the whole verse very different, doesn't it? Paul shares this great truth of reconciliation with God for all things on earth and all things in heaven through the blood sacrifice of the only begotten Son, and that through him, Father now sees us as holy, blameless, and above reproach. And then he says, so then, because of this reality, continue in the faith, well-founded, steadfast, and immovable by the hope of this good news you have heard. He's saying, now that you've heard this gospel, the true evangel, the gospel for the nations given by Christ to Paul, continue in it. Be steadfast and immovable. Don't let anything or anyone come along to try and water down or diminish the work of Christ with some ear-tickling doctrine that plays to the pride of humanity that wants to try and justify self and trust in self rather than in the finished work of Christ. Verse 21, again, let me read it. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So then, continue in the faith, well-founded and steadfast and immovable by the hope of the gospel that you have heard. He's saying, now that you've heard this gospel, continue in it. Don't be moved from it. Don't let worldly religiousness rip off this truth from you. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. Next time we're together, we're going to look at a couple more passages that have to do with the vastness of what Christ accomplished for us. And if you've never really dug into this topic, we're going to see some things that will absolutely blow your mind. My name is James Flanders, and I just want to thank you so much for taking time to hang out with me today. I truly appreciate your prayers and encouraging words, and my entire family appreciates your support. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.